trick or treat, motherfucker.
You all painted up for a crackhead, huh? Halloween ain't till mañana.
Just another Halloween.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are talking trash. Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated, and also often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you need to know what the worst movie is. Did I say this wrong already?
Yeah.
I've messed up. You know, you say these things so often that you forget. But we need to know what the worst movie is. You can't really judge a film unless you know what the worst is. Right, Joe?
You can't really say you've seen the worst movie until you've really seen the worst movie.
Yeah. And we're talking trash. We're talking trash and we're doing Potoween, and this is our second week of Potoween. And this month we are doing, for October, for Potoween, we're doing horror movies, but we're picking the worst in five. Well, again, I keep saying worst, but the lowest rated in five different horror slasher icons franchises.
Yeah, so it's the lowest rated of the whole entire franchise. Not necessarily us saying it's the worst of the franchise. Yeah. So let's get that clear.
Yes.
It is the lowest rated on IMDb. So we are talking about those movies in each of the franchises because we want to see for ourselves again. And these are all revisits because we've seen them all. But, you know, we want to see for ourselves again if they're on second or third or fourth viewing, do we still feel the same way?
Yeah. And we're in our second week and we're moving on to another movie.
So we are talking about a movie where actress Jamie Lee Curtis apparently said, "This film is a joke."
Well, Halloween Resurrection was a joke.
And the original director, John Carpenter, said, "I watched the one in the house with all the cameras. Oh my God. Oh Lord. God." And then the guy gives the speech at the end about violence. What the hell? Oh my Lord, I can't believe it.
Bob, you know, Halloween, you kept making these things, right? Yeah. I mean, right?
Some of them were really pieces of
yeah. We're talking about Halloween Resurrection.
I left the back door unlocked for your ass to go out the back into the garage. That's what I did. You need to get the hell out of here. Get out, scoop, skedaddle. Get the fuck out of Dodge.
2002's Halloween Resurrection, I should say. It has like a 3.9 on IMDb from 49,000 reviewers. It had a budget of $13 million. It grossed $37 worldwide. It was directed by Rick Rosenthal. He did Halloween Part 2. He's one of the only directors to return to do a sequel.
Oh, okay.
So he directed Part 2. He also did the movie The Birds 2. Did you know that existed?
Okay, no, I didn't.
Yes, he actually removed his name from the movie, and he replaced it with the legendary fake name Alan Smithy, which was used all the time from bad movies back in the day.
Yep.
He also has a cameo in this movie as the professor. This was also written by Larry Brand and Sean Hood, who is a sequel writer for such films as The Crow, Wicked Prayer, which is the fourth movie, and we've been debating about this a lot. Mm-hmm. It's the one with Edward Furlong.
Yes.
And Cube 2.
Oh.
And it stars Busta Rhymes as Freddy. Do we even need to say anybody else in this movie besides Busta Rhymes?
No, I mean, Tyra Banks shows her face, and that's, she really doesn't have anything to do in this movie, and it's pointless because she's a terrible actress. I hate to say that, but she's a terrible actress.
God damn. What the hell is somebody gonna do to get a little decent help up in this motherfucker?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if I've seen her in enough to even complain about it. She's just playing herself.
She was in Coyote Ugly too, and it's just, I don't know, generic. Okay, I don't want to say terrible, but just generic. Nothing going on there. She's very pretty, but that's about it.
I have never in my life yelled at a girl like this. When my mother yells at this, it's because she loves me. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you? Learn something from this. When you go to bed at night, you lay there and you take responsibility for yourself. Because nobody's going to take responsibility for you. You roll in your eyes and you act like this because you've heard it all before. You've heard it all before. You don't know where the hell I come from. You have no idea what I've been through. But I'm not a victim. I grow from it and I learn. Take responsibility for yourself.
This also stars Brad Lurie as Michael Myers. He's a stunt performer who's been in 97 projects, including the movie from last month, Bones. And by the way, we didn't point this out. I guess we should also point this out. This is like a connection from last month. How? Because this is another movie with a rapper in it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we got a rapper super month.
I didn't
we
even
have
plan that.
Five in a row of rapper month. And I don't, I was wondering, is the next one going to have one in it too? I don't know. Is a rapper going to appear in the next movie?
No.
We'll see. We'll see next week. This also stars Bianca Kulik. I believe that's how you pronounce her name.
Bianca Kulik. Can you tell me about your character in the film?
She plays Sarah. She's the main actress in this movie. She was in Bring It On, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, she was the coffee server in 10 Things I Hate About You, and she was Carver. I think Carver's the one that breaks her leg.
Yes, she is. Yep.
Yeah, so we don't see her throughout the whole movie until the end where she's walking around on her crutches.
And she's like giggling.
Yep.
She's like super happy, as I recall. This also stars Sean Patrick Thomas as Rudy. He was in Can't Hardly Wait in The Fountain. Daisy McCracken as Donna from 3,000 Miles to Graceland. Katie Sackhoff in one of her first main role movies.
I've never seen this movie. It's going to be fun. This was my first feature film. I met my friend Bianca Kulik on it. We're still very close. I got to meet Jamie Lee Curtis. And I worked with Busta Rhymes. That was amazing. And Tyra Banks. We're social media friends, which is really exciting. That's all I really remember about the movie.
She plays Jen. She's, of course, Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. Thomas Ian Nichols as Bill from American Pie and Rookie of the Year, which he has the famous line, funky butt loving. So, okay, here we are. You chose this movie because this was, we picked, like, we were searching what franchise and what movie would have the lowest in that franchise.
Yes, it was hard because, I mean, we've already done so many, you know, like we did the Leprechaun franchise already. There is no way that Chucky was ever going to be touched, ever.
Well, I talked about it. I said, well, if we did it, we would have to do, I'm guessing, Seed of Chucky is the lowest rated, and I think it is, right?
Yeah, but we're not, no.
Yeah, this was one of those rare occurrences that when I saw this movie, I thought this movie wasn't as bad as everybody was saying it was.
Yeah, we saw it long, long ago, and I actually rated this movie a 6.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
I did too. I mean, of course, now we're getting that second look. I actually think at the time of this movie had come out, for me, I can only say for me, the Halloween movies had hit a rock bottom of shit. Like, now seeing this, this was 2002. We were, you know, this was young. We came off a whole bunch of movies that of his franchise that I had not liked for a very long time. I wasn't the biggest fan of 4 and 5 when I was young. And then when I saw 6, I could not remember it existing for the longest time. And then H2O came out and I loathe H2O. I know people seem to like it because I guess it's like that 90s thing and it's Kevin Williamson again. So no matter what Kevin Williamson did in the 90s, everybody's just like, give him a pass.
I know.
Give him everyone's a pass. He made Scream.
Unfortunate eyebrow crisis and everyone's unfortunate hairdo looking at you. Josh Hartnett.
I was going to say, I thought you were saying, I'm looking at you, Michael, because of his eyebrows in this film.
Oh, Christ. Oh, my God. I got to. Can we just talk about the stuntman playing Michael for just one brief moment?
Yeah, we could talk about him.
I hate it. I hate it. I really do.
I don't mind certain shots, but certain other shots are very bad to me.
Have you noticed like the way he moves? Like,
yeah, he walks funny.
It's like almost like he has a beer gut and he's just walking like wobbling, you know, like a wobble, I can't describe it. I can't look at him. I think he is. It's off-putting. The mask is dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful.
It doesn't bother me. And I tried to show you this while we were watching the movie. I wanted to show you a lineup of all the masks in all the movies. And I said, I don't think this one is as bad as the previous three.
So H2O was really bad too.
H2O, so you could see his eyeballs in a way where they look just like a stunned actor.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's not creepy.
Because if you're going with... Why? Okay, here's the decision. The decision by the filmmakers that I don't understand. Why would you give him a mask where that shows his eyeballs completely when literally Laurie Strode popped his eyeball out with a coat hanger?
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, they should blank it out as much as possible, and they didn't.
It's just, okay, yeah, we're here.
After looking at it, do you now at least agree with me on this? Because yes. I think 4, 5, well, no, I would say that maybe 4, 5, 6 and H2O and then Rob Zombie sequel are the worst. We're both in agreement here that the best Michael Myers masks are in the reboots, right? The David Allen Green, what is it? Not David Allen Green, David Gordon Green.
David Gordon
Green. I wish it was David Allen Green.
David Allen Greer is who you're thinking of.
Yeah, thank you. David
Gordon. The actor, the comedian.
Yeah, David Gordon Green's movies.
Yes.
His masks are the best. I think they're creepy. The one singed side of one is really neat. It just adds something to it. It's like with Jason's mask where he has like the cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that you see the continuing wounds from even on the mask of the character. But this movie, I can't give it as much of a hate as the previous three because the other ones looked like a knockoff at a cosplay store, just like someone grabbed one of those cheap Spencer masks. I know someone made jokes. I've seen memes about how the mask in this one is actually just the awesome power space.
Oh, my God. It does look like that. It does.
And I think that is pretty funny, but... I still am going to give it a pass, but I will say you're right about his walk. He looks like he's got a wedgie.
It's just, it doesn't, it's not right. And also, the actor looks a hell of a lot smaller than Michael Myers should be. I mean, he's hulking in some of the other movies. And in 2019, I don't know who played him in 2019, but everything about him in 2019 was the scariest I have ever seen Michael Myers. The mask, the way he moved his head, the way he walked, everything about him. And also this particular Michael Myers in Resurrection, he almost had a run, like a sprint to him. He was moving too fast. There was nothing menacing about him at all. It was jokey.
In this one?
In Resurrection.
Oh,
we just watched. I felt like he was just not moving right. Like he was just not.
I don't think he's quick.
He's not. I mean, he's definitely quick. He's quicker.
In the beginning
of the movie, when Laurie Strode takes him onto the top of the roof, he's literally like running towards that dress that she leaves on the ledge of the building. He runs. I mean, it's almost ridiculous.
I mean, there's certain shots where he's doing like the up close kills. And the way that he's moving his head and stuff is, I don't mind it. I can't hate on it too much. We can hate on this movie for a while, but I can't hate on it too much because, like I said, I mean, there's not much going on there. There's not much for the actor in the mask to do. It's really, it comes down to how the director is going to shoot him.
That's true.
And I think the director here is dropping the ball heavily on how to film Michael.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time it's in the dark. So let's discuss the movie. Let's talk out the plot we just watched, because there's plenty to bullshit about.
Yeah, I mean, luckily this is not one of our normal talking trash movies where nobody has really had a chance to view the film that we're discussing.
Well, that's what we usually do, right? Yeah. We usually give a movie and tell other people, is this even worth your time? Usually it's not.
Right.
This is for the people who don't. So this one is more widely known.
But this is a special situation.
There was only a few reviewers. Like, it wasn't as much as you would expect, especially from a horror franchise as big as Halloween. You would think that you would have like 100,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was only like 70, maybe, I think I said in the open. I can't remember now. But that's not that much comparatively to some of the other franchise in this series. But whatever. I mean, I guess a lot of people said, don't even watch this one. So maybe that's why people didn't review it as much.
That might be true also.
Yeah, but in the opening of this movie, we get the reason that a lot of this movie happened the way it did is because Jamie Lee Curtis, she didn't want this movie franchise to keep going. When she signed on to do H2O, it was a way for it to end. And she said, look, I want to do it, but I want this to be the end of the franchise. I want Michael to finally die. Okay? And it was her way out. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, okay, I want to be, I want to be disassociated with it. And Kevin Williamson's involved. And there's things about it that I really want to do. So I'll come back. We'll do it. But we have to end it. So, of course, that wasn't possible because the guy who owns the rights, Mustafa Akkad, he owned the rights, and he had a clause that legally wouldn't allow the writers to kill Michael off. So she was told that it would end the franchise, but then he was like, nope, you're not allowed. Mm-hmm. I literally have a clause in the owning of these rights. You cannot kill him because I want this franchise to keep going forever. And it pretty much does. But so what they did was they did this reshoot, like, or an ending where they filmed a little bit more. So at the end of H2O, they filmed more scenes of him switching out the cop's body or whatever.
The
paramedic's body. It opened the gateway to make a next one.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, she was basically told, you have to come back. And she's like, look, if you're forcing me into this, I'm dying.
And now we're like a month away from shooting. And I'm really getting panicked because I don't understand. We have these meetings, we have these talks, and then some ambiguous ending is written in. So I go to the office really pissed. I walk in, I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? I don't understand this. We had a stake through the heart. We had a head chopped off. We had it all. And they looked at me and said, Jamie, there's a clause in the contract with Mustafa Akkad that says you can't kill him. Now you fucking tell me? This is now a movie where they've hired actors, they've hired a crew, they've hired stunt people. They have done it all. We have locations, clothing. So now for me to go, I'm done. I'm out. I'm gone. And they said, how can we do this with you? I said, you can't. I am not doing this. The whole construction of the story is that this woman stops running, turns back, and faces him mano a mano until the death. And so Kevin Williamson says, what if you and the audience think that you've killed him? I said, okay, what? They said, we do it where you kill him. I said, okay, but how do I? No. You kill him. You will take it to the end and you will chop off his head. I said, and we know it's him. Yes, it's the guy in the mask. Okay, so, and they said, will you accept that? And I said, Yeah. As long as in the next movie, it opens with me in a mental institution because I have found out that the person that I killed was not him and was an innocent ambulance driver with kids, and that it has sent her gone. And then I then get to die. Because I'm not gonna just like live like this limbo life. That's not gonna happen. And so that's why, sadly, I'm in Resurrection.
We find out that Laurie Strode is now in an insane asylum after the events of H2O. And by the way, talking about this movie franchise is so hard because technically there is like Terminator timelines.
Yeah.
Because this movie actually takes place as number 4. Because in this universe, 4 and 5 never happened.
Okay, so the whole situation with Jamie, right?
Yeah, Jamie never happened.
Okay, which never made sense anyways.
Yeah, they mentioned that in H2O, I believe she says her niece was killed.
Okay, can I ask you something? Who the fuck? Who's having this niece?
Yeah, we're not talking about 4 and 5, so let's not even...
siblings.
Yeah.
None of it makes any sense in life. I don't understand it.
It doesn't make any sense, but let's not fall down the rabbit hole of 4 and 5.
Okay, let's just stay on track.
Let's just say this is one of the many, many timelines of the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
Because we also have like Season of the Witch, which is his own timeline that says that this is a movie franchise in the universe of that movie. And then there is this one. There's the 4 and 5 timeline. Then there's the reboot timeline.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah.
And then there's the Halloween Rob Zombie timeline.
Oh, God,
so
no.
There's so many timelines here.
We are pretending Rob Zombie's bullshit did not happen. I can't. It's not in my head. But I will say this. If Jamie Lee Curtis wanted so badly for her character, Laurie Strode, to be killed off, why did she reprise that same character, Laurie Strode, in 2019? Can we talk about that for a moment?
Of course. I mean, so money talks because... new directors and writers came on board. John Carpenter came back and they talked her into resurrecting the franchise, saying that in that universe, part 2 didn't even exist. That was the sequel to part 1.
So how is John Carpenter even involved in 2019? It's just because it's his property? Did he produce it?
He came back, he did the music again and everything. He did new music and added on to it.
That's why she did it then.
Basically they got everybody involved. Because she even said, if I'm coming back, everybody better come back.
Okay.
Like, everybody better be involved in this. Even brought back some of the older actors as well.
Yeah, I get it.
Which is odd because they also replaced half of them. So here we are. In the opening of this movie, we have to now get a recap of the original, the last film, H2O, and be told what the hell is going on. And since Laurie is now in an insane asylum, for some reason, hiding out, overdosing, like pretending to overdose or take pills, I mean, mm-hmm. for some kind of psychotic behavior, but secretly stuffing them in a Raggedy Ann doll, mm-hmm. which is some kind of reference to her room in the first movie. I don't know. And she's just waiting for Michael. So her idea is to sit here and wait out. Now, she doesn't have to be here because she's not actually insane.
No, and you can literally wait for Michael Myers at a day spa or at your house or anywhere on Earth. Why does she have to be here? She's not certifiable.
She's not certifiable. And what she did by cutting off the EMT or whatever the hell it was, or paramedic.
Maybe he was a cop. I don't remember.
I have no idea either. If she cut his head off, it was, in all fairness, like if you watch that movie, there is no way in hell that's not Michael.
Right.
That's just not some guy with his throat crushed or some crap that they say in this movie.
Right.
There is no way in hell that makes sense. But if that's what they're going with, it wasn't a crime that she knowingly committed.
Right.
She put down a guy who was trying to kill her in an ambulance chase.
Right, so she thought it was her brother. Okay, I got it. Yeah. So, but the thing is, so she's in this mental health facility and she's just waiting and waiting and waiting. And he knows how to find her, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
he has really good resources.
He really does, especially since this movie goes out of its way to tell you that he's been living in a sewer system under his house for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he's been waiting and he has some clip notes on her in his little lair, mm-hmm. his bat cave, and or his rat cave, depending on how you want to say it. He knows where she is and he's like finding out information about her and then he just walks there. There's a joke about this in the movie that he drove. He drives a lot for a person who was in an insane, you know, a mental health facility that you said since he was a child. Somehow he learned to drive.
Oh yeah, he learned how to drive in the 1978 movie.
Yep.
He busted out. So that's pretty amazing in itself.
He does it again here because Busta Rhymes mentions, or Tara Banks mentions, that there was a car parked out in front that had to be towed. So that means he drove back.
Yeah, he sure did.
So, okay. So,
but he knows, you know, he knows how to get home. He always knows how to get home.
I would love to see Michael pumping gas.
Oh my God.
You know, just, there's like funny. He already has the overalls on. I guess that works out. Well, he looks like he's working there.
Editor's note. There's actually a deleted scene of this movie where he drives his car up to the house and actually locks it with the alarm button.
He finds this institution. She's basically waiting for him. Every day she fakes taking her pills, her medication, and she is referenced to being up on the roof, like she's preparing for his arrival. Mm-hmm. Now, why didn't she prepare somewhere else? Because this would have been the perfect time to do what the reboot movies did and have her training for his arrival.
Like in 2019, when she had her whole house rigged, like she's just making a kill box, like, you know,
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was her plan here? If he does show up, you're not taking your medication. I guess her kill box is the roof scenario, but that is baffling when it comes down to it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't get over that scene, to be honest with you.
Well, he shows up. He finds her.
Of course he does.
And the funniest thing here is that the guards. Now, the one guard goes outside because he's doing his rounds or whatever, and he sees that the fence is open with the lock off the chain. And so he walks around. Now, I have to point out something that starts here that you can't unhear once you start hearing it. But this movie has an obsession with, and I think a lot of people don't know what film with sound editing is, because it is extremely important to films. And this movie is a case study in how bad you can do sound editing.
Yeah.
Because this movie starts off with overdoing sounds constantly in this movie. And this is where it starts. He goes out to it's like a forest, of course. And you hear, now it's like in the middle of nowhere. You hear multiple dog barks, not once, but it keeps repeating.
Yep.
Then they go, you know what? That's not enough wood sounds. Let's put owls. So we got dogs barking, owls. We got the wind. We have heavy breathing. We have the, like, doing everything. The little bit of fog here. Put some, you know, oh, is it a stormy night? You know.
Well, you have to let everybody know that it's a horror movie. I mean, come on.
It's just so funny. Like,
just throw it all in there. But this security guard, you know, gets startled by this guy in a clown mask, which I told you when we saw this from minute one, I was like, okay, this is supposed to be a secured mental health facility. And they are just it's so easy for them to get out of their rooms. I mean, I don't understand this. He's just outside.
Yeah, they reference this guy keeps getting out of his room.
Like, here's what bothers me, okay? Now, obviously, he's wearing a clown mask, and the security guard says to him, okay, so who are we tonight? And he says, I'm John Wayne Gacy. I killed blah, 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 amount of people, blah, blah.
30-something people.
This is a person that is obsessed with serial killers. He's in a mental health facility. He is clearly not stable human.
and you are just letting him walk around?
They're not letting him. Somehow he keeps getting out and keeps appearing in new areas. They mention it multiple times.
How are you in this facility and not like secured? Yeah. Like there's locks on the doors. I don't understand what is happening in this facility. It's a joke. This is a joke. So they take him back to his room, the security guard, but then the security guard runs into another security guard who sees somebody in the basement on the cameras and says, "Oh, hey, I thought you took him back to his room. Why is he in the basement?" Oh, okay. That's not concerning. This asshole stops for a freaking snack at the snack machine.
He's already getting yelled at for not putting Franklin back in his room properly. And then he's like, "Well, I just did. They actually saw on the computer and the computer screens is actually Michael Myers walking around." So they mistaken that for Franklin. So they go out there to stop Franklin, but he's, like you said, stops for a vending machine.
Like, are you kidding me? And this guy might be crazy. Like, he might be a murderer too.
Yeah, and they don't take him seriously at all. But what I love is that he stops for snacks, and his boss, I'm thinking it's his boss because he keeps reprimanding him in the scene. He's like, "Oh, just hurry up. You didn't have to just hurry up." And then he goes in the room by himself, which happens to be the laundry room, which, of course, nobody is working at night. There's no other staff members, no janitorial staff or anything. There's just...
Then who the fuck is doing the laundry?
A prison load of white towels.
Yeah.
All over.
Okay.
In the dark, in a shady looking room that doesn't belong in this sanitarium of any kind, right? And of course he screams instantly, and we get the other security guard realizing, oh, something happened in there. Now we love this, and I'm glad I brought sound editing up. And the other thing we're gonna have to bring up is film editing, because that's another problem.
Oh my
here.
God.
He walks in this room, and now we know Michael has now killed this other guy. This isn't a jump scare. We know that this guy's dead. So we get in this room. Now, all you can think to yourself is, Michael has killed a man, decapitated him, put his head in a dryer, turned it on, set the settings, put more towels in there, by the way, too. Then, with one hand, has done a pull-up into the ceiling.
Okay, this is the same move that he used in H2O, where he came down from the ceiling, which in H2O... they're showing him like from the back that he's coming down off the ceiling. Okay. Number one, I thought that looked cool when he was coming down, but then again, I was thinking, where the hell was he hiding? Is he Spider-Man?
It's like a Batman joke where you're like, where did he just go? Is he just crouching somewhere?
Yeah.
That's how it is. Michael's just like somehow like planking up on the ceiling.
It's bizarre. Anyway, so he comes down behind the guy.
Yeah, but no. What's in the lawn? Well, the cop finds out because he walks in here and searches the room. And the reason I brought up film editing is because multiple times in this movie, it slows down.
Mm-hmm.
The film slows down. I don't know if it's because they didn't have a long enough shot. I have no idea why it keeps doing this, but the film slows down to show you the laundry spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And him opening it up to find the human head in there. And that's when Michael comes down. Now, he starts coming down. Now, this guy has searched this entire room, but right behind him on the floor, somehow he missed a decapitated body covered with blood all over the floor. And now I brought up the sound editing. Well, here's the first instance of the movie showing violence with doing a rattlesnake noise. I don't know what they were thinking with this.
I don't get it. Yeah. You know what? I honestly wasn't even focused on that sound.
I couldn't stop hearing it because
I was so concerned with the fact that this idiot walks into the room. There's a dead body in the middle of the floor with a pool of blood.
He misses
it. You don't see that? You don't see that?
It's almost like
he trips over him.
It's like Michael drops it there right after he searched the room already.
No.
I know it didn't happen, but I'm just saying that's how they... How did you miss this?
I couldn't stop talking about it after we saw that scene. Because I was like, that's just, are they treating us like we're stupid?
There's a lot of that in this. So Michael, of course, comes down and kills him instantly. And we also get to hear the sound editing of Michael's knife, which constantly sound like it's being sheathed, like it's coming out of a holster. This knife whishes and through this entire film. It's so comical. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Now Michael goes to go kill Lori. So he gets upstairs.
He knows exactly what room she's in because he probably looked at the manifest.
He just was staring at her through the window, apparently.
Yeah, he might have called someone. She's up on that
third floor.
He could have said, hey, Doc, where's my sister staying at?
Yeah, maybe. He never talked until he needs to. but Franklin sees him, too. He goes upstairs. And now this is one of my favorite bits. He somehow starts pushing on the door, but then he just goes, screw it, and headbutts through the doorway. I mean, this door explodes like the ship in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, he's smart enough to realize that this is a mental health facility and they have to lock them in. So he knew that he wasn't just going to turn the handle.
No.
He was going to use his brute strength and just go right through.
Just head first.
But Lori's hiding behind the door and cranks him over the head with a lamp.
That's her big move.
I'm like, okay, now, Lori, you were a freaking badass surviving this in the first movie, okay? You survived him a few times. What would possess you to use a lamp and then just run away?
Yeah.
Like, I know that she had a plan, but the plan that she has is to run away, run to the rooftop, and when he enters the rooftop, he is going to strategically stand in the very area that she wants him to stand in, which is with his foot in a rope so she can hit the button on a switch thing and he
gets
lifted in the air. Now, this is by his ankle, like he's dangling like a worm on a hook.
Yeah.
How could she have anticipated that his foot would have ended up in that tiny loop? How? That he would stand in that exact spot where his foot would go through that rope and he would be lifted up like that. Now, that was some crystal ball fucking shit.
Okay. If that was her entire plan, good on her that it all worked out so well that he stepped in that exact spot and got her to crank it and so she could hang him over the building. But I love that he's also wishing his knife again, but she picks it up. And now this
put your fingerprints all over it so that they know that you committed the crimes.
Well, no. I mean, it doesn't even matter. It
doesn't matter.
I mean, she just wants to kill this guy. But I love that she's got this whole line. She's like, I'm not afraid of you anymore. But that's not exactly what's happening there. She kind of is because she just whacked him over the head with the light and ran. Mm-hmm. And you would have a standoff where you would fight this guy.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't believe any of that. But she, of course, can't kill him because, again, sound editing. Right when she goes to cut the rope to drop him, there's like a weird screeching scream noise that makes Michael start doing like grabbing at his head. Now, it seems like he's doing his ears hurt, but she reads it as, oh, he's trying to take off his mask. Maybe it isn't Michael and he's setting me up again.
How many people does she know that can crash through doors at warp speed like that?
Exactly. So for some reason, she second guesses it. And instead of stabbing him, she goes to take his mask off, which allows him to pull her over the side with him. They land. The rope breaks. And
but she's stabbed in the back. He stabs her in the back.
When they fall, this is amazing, by the way.
But
his upper
fall.
Body strength is incredible. Yeah. He actually grabs the side of the building with one hand from behind himself. Mm-hmm. And they show it. It's terrible. In the long shot, you see that he's only holding it with like two fingers.
Mm-hmm.
When they fell down, she gets like the knife right in her back. Like he stabs her right in the back and she gives him a kiss.
It says, I'll see you in hell.
See you in hell. And Lori falls to her death and dies.
That was a terrible ending for a character.
I actually didn't mind this. And I still don't exactly mind her death. Because this is a big thing. It's going to be throughout this month of talking about these movies and having hot takes. I think these movies, if they're going to continue, they need to get the hell out of the shadow of the past of these things and just do something new, come up with new stories.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. We'll get into it later on in our fourth movie, I think. where the characters just won't stop coming back. And that's the whole thing is revolving around that, which gets to the point where it feels like a soap opera. Lori kind of needs to go. And also this Lori in particular, people always want to call her a final girl, but she doesn't actually do anything in the original Halloween. She's a victim. And she's the babysitter victim, you know, and she, when she even fights back for a moment, like the accidental hits on Michael that puts him down, she gives up and starts crying on the floor without looking or leaving or calling the cops. She just gives up for a little bit until he gets up. So I'm kind of like the idea of her being the final girl. Yes, I agree in the new ones. You know, like they made her the badass.
I mean, I get that, but like, she survives three movies until she gets killed off. So
yeah.
She survives the first, second, and Resurrection. Or, I'm sorry, and H2O. And dies in Resurrection. I mean, that's pretty far for a final girl.
That's what I'm saying. It like stretching her character. And she never wanted to be in any of those sequels. The H2O just happened to like, okay, we can finally sum this up and end it and all that. Mm-hmm. And that's what fans want. I'm just saying, like, I don't necessarily think that we need her character to survive forever. I think that Michael can move on, and I think it's better when he does.
Yeah.
So this doesn't bother me about her death. I know a lot of people are mad about it, but I have no problem.
I mean, I guess it's fine. It's just fine, but I kind of wanted her to go out better, you know, like not like that, but and it doesn't matter. So Michael's leaving the mental health facility and he sees Franklin, and Franklin's like, oh my God, Michael Myers killed his sister Judith, blah, 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 giving the whole rundown, right?
Yeah, which is all wrong, by the way. Did you catch it?
No, he actually told him, he said, you killed a nurse, two nurses.
Yeah, I wrote this down from, I think people online were writing, he recounts the victims of the first two films, and he says three teenagers were killed along with three nurses and a paramedic. This is completely wrong. Four teenagers were killed. Annie, Bob, Linda, and Alice. The girl talking on the phone at the beginning of the second movie. And four nurses, a paramedic, a security guard, a doctor, and a marshal. As well as the truck driver who was found by Dr. Loomis, which is where Michael got his jumpsuit.
Okay, well, we can't expect Franklin to know every little thing like that.
Well, he knew exactly how many that was his
whole
thing.
John Wayne Gacy, yeah, I guess. But anyway, so this is one of the parts in the movie where I'm just like, oh, fuck this movie. Because Michael literally kills indiscriminately, okay? He doesn't care who you are. He will kill you. That's his thing.
This is a debate. That's a debate. This Michael Myers in particular is a vengeful Michael Myers who is specifically hunting Laurie. And anybody had to do anything with the first movie.
Okay, but that's false because he hands the knife over to Franklin as if to say, here, you know, I'm not going to kill you. You take over. That kind of thing. Like gave him like a trophy.
I think he actually gave it to him because it sets him up like he did it.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because no one will even think it was him. But, as a serial killer obsessed person who has a knife, the knife with the victim's blood on it.
Well, I have another question. Why didn't he go after Loomis?
In this timeline, I think Loomis is dead.
No, because in
H2O, they reference is dead.
Well, what about, we're acting like Jamie didn't ever.
Four and five never happened.
Okay, got it. But anyway, but you're saying that he only goes after things associated with Lori and the.
Because in this timeline, he is her sister.
Okay, so
I mean, she is his sister.
So he's just living in his old house, just, you know, trying to maintain some privacy. Yeah. And he gets invaded by Busta and the group of people.
The whole franchise in this timeline is just saying, like, the idea is he wants to get this done, kill his sister, end the whole thing, go home, and live. That's it. That's okay. What his whole plan is. But when he goes home, of course, the movie is happening.
Right.
So the movie, what's actually happening in this movie in particular, the crazy plot line, is that I guess they wanted to jump on board this idea of, what's that called, first-person camera movies, mm-hmm. Or what's the word?
First person? Yeah,
no,
that's it.
No, what do we call it?
Found footage? No, not found footage.
Kind of. The found footage. That's kind of what I was getting at.
We get it.
I think they're trying to jump on board that idea of these movies that were popular at the time. And so they came up with an idea of what were they, what if they were filming a like cameras on people's heads, internet show for Halloween, and Michael just so happens to come in. That seems to be the franchise, the idea of this movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, what if we did that? What if we played with what is being popular with Blair Witch?
Yes.
And I think at the time, a couple of the movies like Wreck and stuff like that were coming out that were very popular around this time. So they were like, let's jump on that bandwagon. Well, unfortunately, the plot is very bad.
It's okay. Here. Well, we'll just say quickly that Busta and Tyra are, she's Nora in the movie. They are some kind of production company that have put out a, I guess, an audition for a group of people, college kids, to come into the house of Michael Myers used to live in, where he killed his sister, and film on Halloween night, like, you know, going through the house and trying to
just
do
like
a live stream.
Yeah, like a spooky house on Halloween.
Yeah, and it just happened to be Michael Myers' house. And so they've auditioned this group of people, which, by the way, this group of people, none of them are likable.
This is an odd choice. This is an odd thing. Now, all the movie should have done is have maybe like a class of like, I don't know, psychiatrists or like students in college, mm-hmm, wanting to do something with psychology or something like that, or maybe even detective work of some sort, or like, you know, maybe like police or something like that. And they went into this house and they were filming it for this Halloween thing. That's all they had to do, is get like a class and do a social study, mm-hmm, of some kind of, you know, like, but instead they're just a bunch of college kids who somehow got picked. Now, what's really funny is, when does this ever happen? Three friends are picked.
Right.
That doesn't usually happen. They usually pick three different people, like different people from different parts.
And exactly.
Try to like cause problems to get it interesting. But the main girl, the main character of this movie, she doesn't seem like she would even have submitted to be there.
No, I feel like, okay, the main girl in these situations, there's always something in horror movies, there's always something special or different about that girl. You know, like she's the good-hearted one and has the asshole best friend, or, you know, something like that. Like there's always something special and elevated about that girl.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like this person would have ever volunteered for something like this. But she's involved in this with her friend, who's played by Katie Sackhoff, and then is it Sean Thomas?
Yes.
Yeah. So those are her friends, and it's just so bizarre that this guy, Sean Patrick.
I think Thomas, his name is Sean Patrick Thomas.
Sean Patrick Thomas. He is hanging out with this annoying girl, number one, Katie
Sackhoff.
These
three friends are not friends.
Katie Sackhoff is so annoying in this movie, and she's just awful. I just don't like her.
No idea what I just said. What did I just say? We gotta do what? Katie, volume and diction. Where'd you learn how to act? Here she comes again. We gotta find Rudy. We've gotta find Rudy. All right, cool. You guys, I was annoying even then.
We're to believe that they have a friendship, and we're also led to believe that Katie Sackhoff is friends with this girl, this main girl. They just don't, nothing clicks there. Nothing.
In fact, as the movie plays on, they feel less and less like friends.
Exactly.
They feel like strangers.
Yeah. And in this movie, every single person that they picked fills in one of those slots of a horror movie cliche.
Kind of. There's no real jock and there's no real stoner, but they make two of the characters smoke pot for no reason.
Okay. Yes. And there's a rapey guy.
They're all kind of just like horny guys and horny women. That's the plot
line.
There's
a super horny girl who is in a stank, dank, old, nasty murder house and wants to have sex in the basement with cobwebs and filth. I mean,
as we get into that,
crazy. We're talking about the character setup here.
We have to talk about the main girl doesn't really want to do this, but Katie Sackhoff and her friend are trying to talk her into it. But she has an internet friend. that has to be discussed, who she knows as Deckard. He seems to be a high school senior, I believe.
And no, she's no, in college? He's a college freshman.
Oh, okay.
She is not. I think she might be a sophomore or a junior.
Fun fact, you're wrong.
You told her you're a graduate student?
Graduate of what, junior high?
Oh, shut up, all right? We talk like every day. I don't know. It's kind of like we're dating. She's never even seen you. And Yahoo chat rooms do not count.
This is something I got to talk about. So they say it's a chat. Should be a chat room. But she's clearly emailing him. And if you watch the scene, you have to watch the computer because they put sound in of him typing.
Mm-hmm.
But what's coming up on the screen is actually what she's writing. Like he's seeing in real time her typing in the email. Now, if it was a chat, that would make sense because we would see it coming up.
Yeah, like if it was like Teams or like, you know, like a pop-up message or something like that, you would see that. Like there's like a little chat going, but it's clearly an email. And I'm like, oh my God, this director, man, he's making us look stupid.
And what's even funny is that the actor doesn't even read it properly.
No.
What it actually says is not what he says at all. And he also types back on the email. Which is odd.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out like his friend is like making fun of him for having this online romance. And they're going to go to a big Halloween party. But she is going to do this internet show live on Halloween night. And he's like, well, I have to watch it because she's doing this internet. And his friend's like, no, you literally have to meet actual physical women. So we're going to go to this Halloween party that I got you into.
They dress as Jules. And Vincent
from Pulp Fiction.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I
love, again, ADR lines in the background. I don't know if they're supposed to be about them, but someone keeps going, oh, like your costume. You look cute. And they don't reference anything. Like
right.
They're not even interacting with what those voices are saying.
Right. Well, the reason that we're bringing up this silly part of the plot is because it actually works in because Deckard sets up in, okay, so he doesn't even know who's owning this house. He just goes into this room and sees a computer and he's like, ooh, I'm going to get on this live stream. I want to watch my girl on this live stream, right? So it starts out with just him and it ends up with like the whole party coming in there.
And again, this is like, there's bad editing again.
So bad.
I caught, there's a guy in a smoking jacket. Like, I guess he's supposed to be like a Hugh Hefner costume.
Yeah.
He comes in the room. There's a scene where there's a loud noise and he tells him, turn the volume down. And the next time you see this room, he comes into the room for the first time and says, oh, you're watching the Halloween event?
Yeah, it was such
like,
a bad film.
It's so edited out of order. It's unreal.
So but bad.
Let's get back into what happens because she doesn't want to do this event at all. And she doesn't want to go to the house. But Busta Rhymes talks her into it with his great pep talks. You know, he's so great in this movie. Let's talk about Busta Rhymes' mouth because, man, that thing is huge. It is so big. It's like a shark's mouth. It looked like there was rows and rows of teeth.
I mean,
he has
like,
more
wait,
teeth than the normal human being does.
I think he has like extra teeth.
Yeah. It just looks like he's going to, every time he does like a laugh or a smile, it looks like he's going to bite everything in half.
I know.
Like, I would believe it too.
He's literally the best thing about this movie.
He is the best thing about this. It's almost like a scary movie scenario.
He just has so much charisma.
He really does. He does.
And he's funny as hell.
Yeah.
And I know that this is not a comedy, but like.
It is kind of.
I mean, it's not supposed to be. It's not billed as a comedy. It's a horror movie, but he just brings so much to the table that if this movie was without him.
Yeah.
It would be a big fat zero. I mean, just plain and simple.
Oh, Freddy boy. Damn, you good. Why don't you just pat yourself on the back? Oh, watch on me. Oh.
He talks her into staying. They're going to do the show. And the whole thing is, like we talked about already, an entire night in the Michael Myers house. Videotaping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while before they even get there, and we meet our main characters, by the way, we have to talk about this group. You mentioned, we already talked about the guy from American Pie and Rookie of the Year. And there's another kid who's cool for school. He's all dressed up in leather and everything. They do little interviews for the beginning of it, I guess. something very odd happens with the main actress sits down for her interview, where a camera guy hits over one of the lights lighting her shot, and it like falls behind her, sparks up, greatest thing, and she apparently screams so loud that she breaks glasses like an opera singer.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is funny to bring up because the actress could not scream in real at all, and they had to ADR all for screaming in this movie in.
So I have a very good scream. It is loud, and I mean, it's shrill. It's really loud. Multiple times now when I've been doing horror films, they've had me record extra screams for the other women in the movie. Screaming is actually quite hard. I think maybe because I sing, I can scream really well, but there are a couple screams in this movie that are Bianca's that are actually mine.
Oh my God. She can scream at all. How do you not scream?
I can't. Apparently her screams were not good enough.
Oh.
As a scream queen. Okay. I know. It's insane. Why even hire her then?
Well, I don't understand.
It's almost like, again, this is one of those movies where Katie Sackhoff probably should have been the main character. You know what I mean? Because
here's the thing. I like Katie Sackhoff, but there, this one, no, this is not her film. But I will say that whole like ADR of the scream, it was so silly. And the reason it was silly was because they panned over to Busta, and he's smiling and it's like, yeah. And like,
this is my bread and butter.
Yeah, this is my bread and butter. Like, he's got someone that can really scream. However, can we talk about when they get in the house and this fucking sound is not coming through? Like,
well, it's off and on. You actually had to ask me a couple times, there is no sound, right? I'm like, there is, because we know when she screamed, the people watching it in the party, it's too loud. They have to turn it down. So I was like, okay, at least we know what's happening.
But I felt like even Tyra, who was watching the monitors, couldn't hear.
Yeah,
I got to talk about that
too. Yeah. It's like, they're so excited because they're going to make so much money off of this thing. Now, I don't know how they're making money off of this, but they're so excited, Busta Rhymes and Tyra. Every time a screen goes down, they just don't seem to care, like, at all. And I'm like, isn't this your bread and butter that you're so excited about? Yeah. You're not technically worried about any of it.
Not at all. So they let these people, they rig them with the cameras that are pointed outward.
Yeah. I wanted, before you go too far, I just want to mention that a cameraman is set on cameras, and he's the first one to die.
Oh my God.
It's an homage to the movie Peeping Tom, which is an old slasher film that predates the original Psycho, where the guy would film people as he kills them with the camera stand.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Michael Myers is in the house, obviously. Mind you, Tyra is watching this from the garage.
Yes.
On the monitors, and she's giving him instructions on how to set up the cameras.
And he's like, I went to film the same film school as Spielberg, so I know how to do these cameras. And actually, Michael Myers sights up the camera better than anybody else.
Yeah. So he kills him with the fucking tripod through the throat.
The guy just takes it.
And he just stands there and lets it happen. Yeah, he doesn't even try to run.
He actually thinks it's Busta. He thinks it's Busta in a Michael Myers outfit because he knows that that's what Busta Rhymes is going to do, that he's secretly going to scare the kids at night dressed like Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that this is – so he thinks it's him. And he just kind of like – I think he gets to the point where he's like, oh, maybe it's not you. And then he just gets killed.
I mean, it was the most – silly, like, useless scene.
It's like anticlimactic.
Very anticlimatic. It was like, all right, come on. So again, Tyra's like supposed to be watching these monitors, but she's not. No, of course. What is she doing? Making a cappuccino.
She's dancing.
And
the camera actually films her ass, which is, I was like,
it was so gratuitous.
It's gratuitous.
I'm like, okay, we get it. Tyra's beautiful. We get it. However, every single time she's supposed to be looking at the camera monitors, she is not. And someone's getting murdered.
Or the cameras just luckily break.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. And this movie actually does some other crazy stuff too, where they, for some reason, flash an image of Michael Myers on the cameras. I have no idea what that's about.
It's like a weird flash of like Pazuzu.
Pazuzu.
But it's perfect. Michael Myers.
Myers flashes.
The strange thing is, so when this group of people gets in the house, my favorite thing happens. So after they get inside and they're looking around and everything. Our main girl, who's supposed to be very smart, tries the light switch. That was my favorite thing that I saw on screen.
When did this happen?
You don't remember?
No,
when they got in the house for the first time, and her friend, you know, Sean Thomas, whatever, he pulls out the drawer and says, "Oh, do you think this is a knife he used to kill her?" And she says, "Oh no, that's in an evidence locker." And then she tries to put the freaking light switch on. Now this is a dilapidated, like rotting corpse of a freaking house that has been vacant for 40 years. And she tries to turn the light switch on.
That's funny. I didn't even pick that up because
done.
When that happened, all I was thinking about was that she referenced something that actually happens in Bride of Chucky. When the guy in Bride of Chucky is Jennifer Tilly has paid him to go into the evidence locker to get Chucky. He passes by and moves things from other horror franchises. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is Michael's mask and knife.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like laughing. I was like, okay, someone paid attention.
Yes.
Yeah. But that
leave it to the Chucky franchise.
We have to talk about that comical knife. It looks like the one you buy at Spencer's for like Halloween or Party City. It is the size of my arm.
Yep.
And it's a butcher knife.
Yeah.
And of course, even when he moves it from the drawer, it also swishes.
Yeah. Surely, you know, I'm gonna try that at home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna just pull out a knife really fast. Although I'm not allowed to play with sharp objects. But
all right. So I have to talk about the cameras. You talked about how they have these little cameras they put on their heads, and it's on the side of their head. Now, if you pay attention to this movie, almost every single character has hair in the way of the camera.
Yes, they do. Every and single person.
Even when I was going to bring up that maybe they would fix it, one of the characters actually sits down at a table and combs her hair in front of it. Mm-hmm. That made me laugh. There's only like one character has short enough hair, which is the one friend who's a cook. He has no hair.
Right.
Everybody else has too much hair and is completely over the lens.
Yep.
And they're not actually given any advice of what they're supposed to be doing. So they're just randomly walking around a house. Now, the movie it's like they forgot a scene where Busta Rhymes explains to them what we're going to do. What's the mission? Like, what's the whole gig of the night? So they actually have the Deckard character, who is the friend at the party, watching this all unfold. He actually gives us exposition while saying, oh, they're supposed to be searching for clues.
Clues about what?
Who knows? I don't know, because Busta Rhymes has filled this place with fake history things that weren't in the house.
Like, you know, a little baby chair that has like shackles on it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
corpses in a wall.
Corpses in a wall that like the wall collapses on cue when the two are in the basement trying to have sex, and it collapses on top of them on cue. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Is this like House on Haunted Hill remake where there's somebody in the goddamn, you know, control room just hitting things and making shit happen?
If there was, they never explain it. Because at one point they're in this room and a wall is pumping out and then the fake bodies fall on them. But I'm like, who made that happen?
Who made that happen? Because Busta and Tyra are literally drinking wine and not even like paying attention. So
yeah, I mean, them going, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. They're high-fiving, and I'm like, okay. And she's like, oh, that was a genius setup. But how did you make that happen?
Yes.
How?
Well, now let's talk about the sex that you brought up multiple times. I don't understand the plot. They say that the characters are there because they're trying to use this as some kind of becoming famous, maybe it was. Katie Sackhoff's character, in fact, mentions that this might help her be an anchor.
Okay.
Like a news anchor or something?
Yeah, I think she just wants to be famous. But what Busta was explaining was that, you know, this is all of our big chance. Like, you know, if we hit it big with this, we can continue on this path and keep doing this together and make money.
He only mentions it to them later on. They seem to have beforehand, they want to do it for other reasons. Why their first instinct is to be sexual predators. All the men become sexual predators instantly.
Oh, for sure.
Which is baffling. One character is obsessed with Katie Sackhoff. The other one just wants to get laid regardless. I mean, they're sticking cameras down their shirts. They're all acting like idiots.
Not all. Sean Patrick Thomas, he's not a bad guy.
He's actually an idiot, too. At one point on camera, they smoke pot. So that means they brought a pipe in to smoke pot in a haunted in a house that is supposed to be like a legendary kill house. And they know that they're being videotaped. It's evidence of like a crime.
That's true.
I'm like, I don't understand these characters.
But he's not like rapey like the other ones, you know?
He's not rapey. He seems to not care about it at all, to be honest with you. He cares more about food.
That's true.
Yeah. And he doesn't, I don't really know why he's there at all. They don't really make sense out of it. He actually says the reason that he's there is that Michael was malnourished.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't understand this movie.
I mean, it's Bust Up fills the whole house with like fake things, you know, like little clues that make these characters think that Michael was tortured as a kid and that's what made him snap and all this horse shit. None of it is real. None of it. But what is pretty impressive to me about the dumb fuckery of this is the fact that they all forget that they have cameras on.
Yeah, number multiple one, times.
Being Katie Sackhoff, who lifts her shirt up to the rapey guy to show her bra, and he's wearing a goddamn camera on his head.
Well, he says, you should flash the camera so it'll make you famous instantly. And then she says, oh, yeah? And she teases him like she's going to do it, but she doesn't really do it.
No, but then we got the other two in the basement. Where
this girl actually goes and does it.
I mean, she's got her top off and her boobies are flapping around.
And they mention how she's like a really intelligent college kid.
Yes. And so this guy, Jim, he's turned on by say something smart.
Yeah. And she gets completely nude and they're about to have sex on camera.
Yeah. And then the wall collapses and all of these fake skeletons and like, you know, it's like a treasure trove of like fake skeletons and body parts and shit, fake shit. And they obviously notice, they're like, oh, that doesn't look real though. It says made in Taiwan. So like they all start to slowly realize that this shit's being set up.
Yeah. But also at the same time, they start dying off and they do so many dumb things like hide on each other and jump out on each other. The movie actually does fake jump out scares to us for no reason, like at a party. Well, like, who's that for? The camera? That's odd. But the first one to go is the Rookie of the Year American Pie actor. He is one of the most bizarre death scenes I've ever seen. He goes up to a mirror and says that he's going to get revenge on Katie Sackhoff's character because she scared him. So he goes, oh, I'm going to get revenge on her. I promise you. Just wait and see. And as he says that, Michael jumps out of the damn mirror.
He's looking in like this crusty old mirror, right? Now, okay. This is not like a two-way mirror situation. Okay, we're not like at a police station. Michael somehow knew that he was literally standing in front of the mirror and he could jump out and just grab him.
Yeah.
That was like next level boss shit.
And it's not like this is people under the stairs where you can walk around in the walls.
Right.
This is a thin ass wall.
Right.
So is he just standing in the other room? Or because when he does it, it looks like he's in an area between the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, did Michael literally just crawl into this wall just to come out and get this guy? Like, I have no idea.
It's so ridiculous. Like, it's just, first of all, this place, if you look at this house, it should be leveled. This is on a street with nice homes, families. There is no fucking way the city, I guess there are still in Haddonfield, obviously, that Haddonfield would allow this house to still stand. No way, not like that. And also, never let any human beings in there. I mean, technically, it's like a freaking crime scene.
Yeah.
But it's been vacant for 40 years. It's definitely not a healthy-looking home.
True.
You're not supposed to be in there. There's no way that these people would ever be allowed in there, ever.
Yeah. Well, I got to blow your mind here. I don't know if you considered this or thought about this at all. Well, this kid gets killed in the mirror. The house... We didn't even talk about how big the house is inside from the outside.
Oh, I know.
There's a mansion inside.
Oh, suddenly. Yeah. It's like the TARDIS.
Yeah. It's so true. No, we have to talk about this because I don't know if you considered this. So he kills this kid. Now, the other three were in the other room across the hall. They didn't hear his murder. He's screaming multiple times. And by the way, the camera is filming Michael jumping out of the window, the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, everybody at the Halloween party hasn't seen this.
Yeah, nobody saw it.
And this is also making me believe that the only viewer this is actually getting is this kid at this party. And all these other kids are watching it behind him, but he's only one viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they're making money at all, but no one else seems to be concerned or freaking out or calling the cops that someone had just died on camera. But no one of the other friends heard it. What does Michael do with the body?
Oh, yeah. What happens to this guy? Oh, my God. Okay. So Michael suspends him upside down, right? Isn't this the guy that gets suspended upside down on a ladder?
He is in the attic.
In the attic.
On the ladder that you have to pull down to climb up to go into the
yes.
attic.
Yes.
When did he do this?
And nobody saw it.
He walked out in the hallway after murdering a person. No one heard it. And the cameras are all filming the stairs.
Holy shit. You're right. I didn't even think about that. That's so bad.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
All right. So he just hangs the guy on the staircase and puts it back up into the attic for some reason. And somehow, who knows? The main lead goes and investigates the house. At the same time, Katie Sackhoff and the other guy are smoking pot. And the other two are in the basement. They get split up. The guy and her are about to have sex and the bodies fall on them. They kind of get split up. He goes back up into the house and she stays. She investigates more down in this thing. She gets into like a sewer system and she finds Michael's actual living room where he's living in the sewer, where he has been eating live rats.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees his little clippings about Lori and the whole thing. Well, Michael shows up down there. He kills her by sticking her onto a metal spike. They see that on the camera. Now, for some reason, they haven't seen the Rookie of the Year kid die. But they see her die. And then Deckard is like, I think that really just happened. Mm-hmm. But everybody at the party is like, nah, that was fake. That looked terrible. Yeah. And she's like, no, I'm really worried. I think something might have just happened. But he still doesn't do anything about it. Until Busta Rhymes has now dressed like Michael Myers and has bumped into the real Michael Myers. And he gives him a talking to. He thinks he's the camera guy.
This is the best scene ever. So there's two Michael Myerses. One is Busta. And Busta turns around and says that, you know, whatever the kid's name is, because he thinks he's the kid. He says it to Michael. He starts yelling at Michael. He says, go help Nora in the garage and go do what you were paid to do and get out of here right now. I don't want this shit to blow up on me. I'm Michael Myers. I'm Michael Myers, you know, tonight. And he goes, go in the garage.
You're so much nicer than he is.
And he starts yelling at him. And Michael just turns around and does what he's told.
Oh, shit, man. Charlie, where the fuck you been at, man? Don't you know we've been looking all over this motherfucker for you? And why the hell you dressed like me anyway? I ain't paying you to be Michael Myers. I'm playing Michael Myers. If them kids come around and see us dressed up in the same shit, you're gonna ruin the whole effect. God damn it. The hell is wrong with you? I said, what you looking at me like that for? Huh? You don't get it? You don't get it? Your shit ain't working up there or something? You need to take your ass in the back of the garage with Nora. That's your job. Go back there with Nora and help her ass out. Go do your job. I left the back door unlocked for your ass to go out the back into the garage.
Basically, he goes out and we don't see it, but he kills Tyra Banks outside because that's what he's telling them to do. Go see her out in the garage.
See, that sucks,
so
because
he kill her.
I really wanted everyone. I mean, we needed the more death scenes.
They filmed it and they cut it out. I have no idea why this was cut.
Editor's note, it might be because of this acting.
Right, it looks like somebody's been putting down there. Freddy, wait. Okay, who's that?
Freddy! Freddy! Freddy, what are you doing? Daddy!
And that's why no one is seeing what's happening on the cameras, I'm guessing?
Oh, okay.
There's no tech person. It's just Tyra Banks out in the garage.
Yeah, who's really completely weird. Oblivious because she's just making coffee and, you know,
eating potato chips or french fries or something. Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on there. Well, at the same time, the characters are split up and Busta Rhymes, Michael Myers, tries to scare our main character and she screams and she runs away and she goes upstairs and gets her friend smoking pot. And then she brings down the one guy, her one friend, Rudy, I think his name is. She brings him downstairs while Katie Sackhoff stays upstairs. They go downstairs and he's like, Michael's in the room. And he's like, he's not here. But unfortunately, the other guy from downstairs is also in the room now. And right behind them is Busta Rhymes. And he grabs one of them. They all freak out. And the one friend hits him over the head. And he's like, ow, 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 man, you know, turn your cameras off. So now nobody heard that, apparently, because all the cameras go off. Mm-hmm. But no one heard turn your cameras off.
Right. So no one watching this is like at all like suspicious.
Yeah. And it turns out Busta Rhymes explains that I set this all up so we can be famous and we're trying to get a lot of money and we're going to split it and all this stuff. Just go along with it. He goes off, puts the mask back on. He's like, now I'm going to go scare the other kids. Mm-hmm. And he goes and leaves. So the three of them say, like, well, I need the money. The one kid's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to stay. And the other two are like, no, we quit. We're going to leave. But before they can, Katie Sackhoff walks out into the hallway upstairs above them, right above the stairs above them. And she sees the ladder comes down from the attic. Oh, she sees it and she goes, oh, that's where he's hiding. So she pulls it down and he is dangling over the stairs in front of her. She screams and she says, guys, it's real. What's his face with that? And they're like, no, it's actually Busta Rhymes. He's kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But right then, Michael walks out of the doorway next to her somehow.
Oh, it's amazing.
With one slice of his butcher knife, it cuts her head square off and it rolls down the stairs and lands in front of our characters. And it looks like the funniest decapitated head I've
ever
seen.
It's really, really bad.
It's so
bad. Like, none of these kills are even good.
It's not even her hair.
It's not her hair. I mean, her whole eyes, like, everything looks like paper mache.
Yeah.
It's fucking gross. It's awful.
It's awful.
I wanted to keep my head, by the way. I thought it would be really funny to send it to my parents, a la What's in the Box, and they wouldn't let me keep it because they said that it would rot. The head didn't actually look like me. I have a picture of me holding my head and it's just enough different, like the eye color's not right, but anyway.
And like, none of the kills are creative at all, you know. I mean, he does grab that guy Jim by his head and squishes his head until his eyeballs bleed.
He comes downstairs and does that right
but
now.
It was like, okay, like, I mean, all of it just looks so cheesy. And when you have a Michael Myers that doesn't move right and has, you can see his eyes and it just looks like a goofy mask, none of this is hitting. None of it.
I actually don't mind, like, when he crushes the guy's head and what he does to Rudy here. I don't mind any of this stuff. I actually don't mind. I think it's okay. I don't hate it. It's not, the head cutting off with the one slice of the knife was terrible. It's probably my least favorite kill in this whole movie.
That was probably the worst, but then he goes after Rudy and he stabs. Okay, this is my
Rudy favorite. At least he actually saves the main girl.
Okay, but can you explain to me how Michael Myers has not one or two, but three arms? He has three arms because when he kills Rudy, he is lifting Rudy up against the kitchen door, right? He lifts him up against the kitchen door and his feet, they show his feet are elevated up in the air.
Rudy has two knives. He pulls out, he throws pepper in Michael's eyes. And then, because he's a cook, he's got some moves. He takes two butcher knives and he starts slashing at him. But Michael just grabs his two arms. Now, Rudy doesn't actually let go of the knives for some reason.
Mm-mm.
And he lifts him against the kitchen door. And I believe because he's holding him up in the air while holding both of his arms, I think they're suggesting that he takes both of his arms and makes him stab himself into the wall.
Is that what he did?
And then while he's hanging there, Michael walks over and goes to get another knife and sticks a third one in him.
Okay, so he used his own arms to stab himself.
I think that's what they're doing there. I think that's what they're suggesting.
Okay. Anyways.
So Rudy's dead. And Rudy died only because he tried to save the girl.
Yes.
Which is his other friend. This main girl lets Rudy die. Doesn't try to help him.
She sucks.
She also is not broken up that Katie Sackhoff is dead.
Nope, doesn't shed a tear.
Not at all.
Doesn't shed a tear at all.
Completely forgets about them here. Mm-hmm. She's completely out of it. She at one point in this movie, we didn't talk about, she actually gets locked in a closet. That's one of those closets that just pushes open.
Yeah.
She gets stuck in there, and the guy has to punch through it instead of opening it. I that is baffling, too.
The choices in this movie are so dumb. Just dumb.
Well, she screaming, run. She can't get, no one can get out of this house. Only Michael can get in and out of this house at any time he wants.
All the fucking doors are locked. Now,
yeah, again, no one can get through it.
This is a house that's literally hanging on by a toothpick. And you can't kick in a window.
It's so silly.
Or kick out a freaking door or something. This house, you could blow it over. I don't understand this. And how are they saying that Busta got in there so he can scare them? He had to come in through somewhere. What, a crawl space? Yeah. I mean, under the house?
He's locking the doors behind himself? I have no idea.
But then he can't get out.
But Busta Rhymes, the girl bumps into him, and she also contacts Deckard. She's like, trying to get his attention.
She has a Palm Pilot.
Yeah, she has some kind of Palm Pilot. And she's
an old-timey technology.
Deckard has called the cops. Apparently, I don't think they're answering. I think they cut away from that whole thing because they don't believe him because it's Halloween.
Yeah,
which is weird. He's writing her to tell her where he is in the house, Michael, and when to go. And he's basically laying down support,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat. It's a cool concept that they're messing with. But she finds Busta Rhymes, who's like, everybody's dead in the house. Michael's real.
Mm-hmm.
And they get stuck. Michael stabs. He actually drop kicks Michael. He actually starts doing kung fu on him in the kitchen or whatever the hell, in the living room, whatever. And he kicks the crap out of Michael a little bit. But Michael is able to get a knife and stab him in the shoulder and then leaves him and goes after her. And she goes up to the roof. She finds everybody in the attic. She finds the camera guy who's up there too. You know, he chased him, a lot of swishing of the knife, a lot of snake noises.
I forget how she finds Tyra. Because that
she actually gets out of the house because she goes into the sewer and she gets up through the sewer app some sort, but I don't know what it is. Somehow it's a part of the house in the back. She gets out of there, he like slashes her foot, that doesn't come back. And she goes into the garage, where she finds the blood pile on the floor and finds Tyra Banks hanging from the ceiling.
Which I really would like to have seen that kill.
And yeah. And she goes and hides in the closet. And Michael hears her anyway. So he comes in there, but she comes out Texas Chainsaw Massacre style with a chainsaw and starts slashing at him and hits him multiple times, but doesn't seem to do anything to him. The chainsaw dies.
Of course it does.
She actually goes, whoops.
No, and she says, oh, shit.
Does she? Yeah. And she went, oh, whoops. Well, he hits her. She goes flying into this thing. It's like the gas. It was like a lawnmower had tipped over when she came out of the sewer cap and like poured gasoline in, what I would say, into the sewer. But it somehow is pouring into the garage in the next shot. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But he pushes her into this thing. He's about to kill her. She has... not even kidding around, she has a soundboard that's like the size of a keyboard laying on her back, and she's acting like she can't move,
like, so she's crawling, and then that's when Busta jumps in through the door and hits Michael Myers over the head and says, trick or treat, motherfucker. Which is the best,
so great.
The best line.
Every line he's got is so funny.
And the fire's going, so the whole place is going up.
The whole place
sets
on fire.
Yeah, whole place sets on fire, and Busta gets the girl out of there.
No, what he actually does is he gets knocked into a wall, but he pretends that he's down. But when Michael comes at him, he takes one of the cords from the soundboard off of the girl's back and sticks it into him and electrocutes him.
Ooh, he got him in the penis! He electrocuted him in the penis.
Which starts the fire around them.
Yeah.
And then Michael backs up into a shit ton of hanging wires.
Yeah, because that's, you know, something you do when you're just in a garage.
It's very Frankenstein wires. Looking. But Busta Rhymes now uses Tyra Banks's, and he's not freaked out about seeing Tyra Banks.
Nah, it's fine.
Because she disappears from the shot. She's not in the shot anymore whatsoever.
No.
But he takes this opportunity to take the electrifying wire and stick it in the puddle of Tyra Banks's blood, which electrocutes Michael, and he gets engulfed in the flames, and there he's able to walk over, and when he goes to reach for the soundboard, the girl already gets up.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not even a problem. And they go out into the street, and Michael burns.
And, oh, guess what? The cops and paramedics arrive. Do they arrive because there's a house on fire, or do they arrive because Deckard called them?
Yeah, you would think it would be because Deckard called them, but they didn't show up until just now at the fire.
You know, can I just make note of something, please? Now, we mentioned earlier that this movie takes place in suburbia. There's homes with families and everything all around. Now, there are multiple windows breaking. Multiple people screaming.
Yeah.
You're telling me that none of these neighbors called the police about any kind of disturbance? I mean, just the fact that there might be vandals in that dilapidated old house or something to that effect?
I live in a world where I'm hoping the neighbors are all happy that this place is going bye-bye. They're like, good, let it burn.
Okay, true.
It's an eyesore.
But there's obviously some shenanigans going on in that house. And maybe, I don't know, call the police because you hear some screams.
Maybe they were all watching the live feed too going, hey, let them die.
Okay, but he was literally like, wasn't he hanging? He was kicked out the window by Busta and he was hanging there outside the window. No neighbors saw what was going on.
Yeah, that's right. He got hung and somehow got off the phone wire. Forgot about that.
Stupid fucking shit.
They set him on fire, and he's got a charred corpse. And the media is very interested in what Busta Rhymes and the lead actress, who they call a hero.
Yeah, why is she a hero?
I don't know.
She didn't do nothing.
She didn't save anybody.
Nope.
In fact, Busta Rhymes saved her.
Yeah.
Although he caused the event, he's also the one who beat Michael Myers up.
I mean, he beat the shit out of Michael Myers.
He beat the shit out of Michael Myers and killed him.
Yeah.
And he's the hero. Well, he comes in, he has a little speech about the media and all this crap. I have no idea about now how he doesn't want to be famous or whatever. It doesn't make any lick of sense. But they want to go see the body, and they look at the charred corpse.
Looking a little crispy over there, Mikey. Like some chicken fried, motherfucker.
And then we get another scene of the corpse being brought into the morgue where the mortician opens up the bag and his eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
End of film.
End of film.
To keep it going.
Now, there's so many poor decisions in this movie. So many. I gotta tell you, I'm going back and looking at my score of 6. I'm trying to figure myself out right now.
What were we thinking? I guess after coming off the movies we had seen, we were like, this isn't the worst thing.
Oh, my God.
And I still think it isn't. Now, my question to you really was, do you think this deserves to be the worst of the franchise?
No.
I don't think so either. I honestly think that the one that no one even remembers, the one that Paul Rudd is in, is pretty friggin' awful. It's so bad, we don't even remember that movie happened.
Yeah.
And also, the sequel to Rob Zombie's, I don't like his first one that much, but the second one is something completely worse.
I mean, okay, first of all, we agree that they actually showed Michael Myers' face in that, right?
In the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe think he changes, did. Like, it's like a... They're not even playing the music. He wanted to do something completely different.
Rob Zombie sucks. Okay? I don't give a fuck. He sucks.
We don't have to keep going on this, man. We're already pissing everybody off anyways.
I don't care. You know what? Bottom line is, this one is not the worst. It isn't.
I don't think it is either. It really isn't.
It's really cheesy and stupid.
But it knows what it is. You know, it's so dumb. It's just like kind of fun stupid. But I would say that it is bad. It's way worse than I remember
it being. It is. Well, are you changing your score from...
Oh my God, yeah. This is bad.
This is a 4.
This might be a 4.
The only reason it is a 4 is I'll tell you why. Because Busta...
You big ass kicking, ball busting chick. God bless you.
Because I honestly didn't like Michael Myers. I didn't really care about any of these people at all whatsoever. But I did like Busta, and I did not want him to die, and he didn't. So that worked out for me. I did not like the actor playing Michael. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. I it's so odd because we're seeing 4, and IMDb has this at 3.9, saying it's the lowest of the franchise. We're also giving it pretty much the same score, which makes me really question, do we remember the 6th one being worse? In a score wise, because I'm like sitting here thinking about that too. I can't even remember that film properly. So I mean, it must be bad.
You're talking about Danielle Harris.
No. Well, does she come back in 6?
Yeah.
Really?
There's one where she doesn't speak.
I thought it was them growing up. Paul Rudd's supposed to be the kid from the first one.
He's supposed to be playing Tommy, right?
I think so.
Is he?
I think he was the original Tommy Jarvis. Is that his name?
No.
Not Tommy Jarvis. What's his name? The kid they're babysitting that Anthony Michael Hall ends up playing later.
Yes. Evil dies tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, God, help us
all. One Paul Rudd. Oh, my God. And that movie also had, like, they try to set up this whole thing with, like, a cult of, like, witches and then the guy with the cowboy hat. I just remember being what is this movie?
Paul Rudd's in The Curse of Michael Myers.
That's the 6th one, I believe.
And that's from 1995. He's playing Tommy Doyle.
That's right.
Doyle. Sorry, Doyle. His last name. Tommy Jarvis is it's from Friday the 13th.
I know. When I said it, I realized.
But, you know, it's okay. You can get your horror people mixed up.
What was that one scored? What is that one at? I can't even remember anything about this film.
Look, The Curse of Michael Myers, I don't...
We watched it not too long ago, and I still don't remember it. It keeps fading from my mind. I only know that Paul Rudd is the main actor.
Okay, so that one's rated a 4.7.
Unbelievable.
42,000 people have rated it. And I didn't rate it because I don't even remember it.
I've
seen it.
But I can't help but say to myself, Resurrection's got to be better. But maybe it's not. I don't know. I'd have to watch them... Again, I guess I would have to watch out again. I don't like H2O. I don't remember liking a damn thing about that movie.
I would rather watch H2O than probably this.
Like, really?
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't even remember good deaths.
Hmm.
I remember like 2 people die in that movie.
No.
It's like,
well, we know that LL Cool J survives.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's another rapper. Another rapper in a movie. It's funny.
And they only reference her son is in a picture in the room, her hospital room.
Yes, that's correct.
Which is Josh Hartnett. Apparently, he was supposed to come back and be the main character going to get revenge for his mom's death.
Yeah.
I would have loved that. It would have been more making sense.
Yeah. That whole opening is just trash.
Well, we don't like this movie. We admit that it's bad, but we don't think it's the worst movie ever made, right?
No, it's not. So where are we going to put it on our list?
I don't have it in front of me, but I was going to say that is this worse or better than Leprechaun in Space? Or Leprechaun Back to the Hood?
Oh, God, it's better than Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
I agree.
I mean, that movie was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to my segment of why we can't have nice things. Well, I read out 2 extremes of online reviews, a 10-star review and a 1-star review, as proof that people who do online reviews will ruin the rating system for all of us. Because these 2 reviews I have...
I'm so enthused.
I'm so, like, because I actually found the 1-star and the 1-star review and the 10-star review that I found are just trash.
How hard was it to find 10-star reviews?
Not hard at all.
Multiple?
Multiple.
I know the ones were easy.
This is like annoying. I don't. So, all right, I'm going to read you the 1-star review.
Okay.
Rotten. This movie is a preteen sellout.
Interesting.
The original Halloween is quite possibly my favorite movie of all time, so I always support the sequels. Well, after this fiasco, it will be my last. Do not waste your money on this piece of garbage. The beginning with Jamie Lee Curtis got the movie off to a promising start, but it turned more and more stupid as it went along. It took a lot of effort to keep from walking out. Having a rapper in this film was the biggest sellout. Oh, hey, wow. Let's get a rapper in the movie so we can appeal to the teeny boppers.
What?
Yeah, this movie is freaking ridiculous. Then you have the Blair Witch camera work ripoff that is horrendous. At least in Blair Witch, you can still tell what's going on. A lot of Halloween is just horrible video that shows you nothing. Busta Rhymes ruined this movie. He starts making kung fu sounds when he is fighting Michael Myers. If I was John Carpenter, I wouldn't even have let them use his music in this pile of crap. This movie sucks, plain and simple. It is an embarrassment to the Halloween franchise, and frankly, I don't want to see another sequel. Don't rent this dung heap unless you are drunk off your ass.
Wow.
That is a one.
That's some super intense, weird stuff, though, I will say.
I mean, come on, dude. Busta Rhymes was the best thing about this movie.
If you can't laugh at Busta Rhymes acting like he's doing kung fu on freaking Michael Myers and beating his ass.
Right. I mean, okay, so this one, 10 out of 10, resurrected the franchise.
Well done, sir.
Yeah. A group of 6 college kids are selected by a money-hungry entrepreneur to stay one night at the Myers house and investigate what drove him to insanity. The movie is fun. It has some good scares and some good humor. But some of the dialogue was laughably bad. And when Busta started to make Michael look like an idiot fighting him, that was just plain stupid. Still a fun movie that possibly resurrected the franchise. A 10 out of 10. This review just makes me mad. Like, I just can't. I mean, how are you giving this a 10 out of 10? I just want an explanation.
Sometimes I can't take anybody seriously, but I know that's why we do this in the first place, is why are people hating on it or loving it so much to the point where they're like, I'll give it a pass. I'll give it all the way. Perfect film. Worst movie I've ever seen.
I mean,
everybody does that. And that's why we do this in the first place, right? But
if the dialogue is laughably bad, why are you giving it a 10? Like, that should shave off a point at least. Come on.
But that's what they think, though. I can give it a pass because I don't like something about it, but I love it.
It's like always such an extreme. It's like,
it really
like,
is.
I can't take it. That's all I got for you.
So, I honestly, if I had to, you know, put this one in order of movies, it's not at the end, so I'm not mad about it. And I rewatching it, I was like, oh yeah, this is bad. I don't know why I've always given it a pass. Maybe because the movie was trying to do something different.
Yeah,
with having like, oh, we're gonna do like the found footage, the internet like ideas. We're gonna have somebody kicked Michael Myers' ass. Like, at least it's doing something. Where I feel like all the other ones kind of like repetitive movies. So, I don't know.
Although, you know, I will say that this is probably my least favorite Michael Myers. I don't like his behavior in this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who played Michael Myers in the 2019 one?
Well, I think they brought back the original actor.
Did they? Oh, they did. That's right. Didn't they?
There was 2 people because there was a stunt guy and the original actor were both involved in doing the character.
Oh, okay.
That's what I remember.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, because, I mean, he was pretty damn good. This one was kind of laughable. He looked like he was in cosplay. doofus. I think that's the problem.
Is that again, some of these movies, they're trying to juggle these ideas of Michael's either subhuman, like superhuman, subhuman type of thing, or he's a human who's just lucky.
Mm.
And I think one of the reasons we like the newer one so much is that he is like a superhuman killing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just superhuman. They even that franchise couldn't figure out what they wanted to do with that. They're like, he's supernatural. And then they're like, eh, is he supernatural? And they're like, maybe he's supernatural? They're not saying it. And this franchise is doing the same thing. In this timeline, he is human. But in the other timeline with the 4 and 5, I think they're kind of saying, and 6, I think they're kind of saying, no, he is supernatural in some sense. And there's some kind of weird cult trying to tie it back to 3 in their weird Celtic witches thing or whatever the hell they were doing.
Yeah.
All right. Next week, we're moving on to the next in our ranking of franchises, lowest rated in the franchises. What will we be watching next? Is it Jason?
No.
Is it Freddy?
Yes, it's Freddy. We are watching Freddy. Yes, Freddy's Dead. That one was rated a 4.7. So, no, I'm sorry. We are wrong. We are watching Jason Goes to Hell.
That's what I figured.
Jason Goes to Hell is rated a 4.1.
So next week we are moving on to Friday the 13th with Jason Goes to Hell. And
yes.
This might be... I actually think that this whole month is going to be one big hot take for me, because I think that a lot of these movies are very underrated.
I know.
In
weird
ways. And I'm looking forward to rewatching Jason Goes to Hell. So
yeah.
I actually have a lot of thoughts on this movie. So, all right. So thanks for listening. As always, hit us up on social media at Just Another Movie Night on Instagram and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. I would love to hear your opinion on this. If you're in that one camp, or you're in the camp with us, or you think it's a little higher, love to hear about it. And happy Halloween.
You need to get the hell out of here. Get out, scoop, skedaddle. Get the fuck out of Dodge. God damn. What the hell somebody gotta do to get a little decent help up in this motherfucker?